brace yourselves. Pride is coming. We've come a long way, baby, since the Stonewall riots, which sparked the modern LGBT rights movement. And even though it's important to remember how it all began, these days, Pride is mostly a party, and that's okay.
But how you celebrate can be just as important as what you celebrate. Today, Colette Gregory, a she-larious, strong black woman, joins us to discuss how to navigate your Pride season festivities and not be ground down into the dirt by the end of it.
Listen as we chat with Colette about why sunscreen is so important for everybody, why feather boas are sticky beasts in the hot weather, and the best way to cop a feel from that hot guy at the parade.
Plus, who will win Miss Congeniality on RuPaul's Drag Race?
The mumps is breaking out amongst gay men in L.A.
And what to serve at the Trump impeachment party.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you have Feast of Fun in your ears because for the last 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. If you like the show, please make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. And if you didn't like the show, make a donation anyway to help us improve.
A gay butch Mexican guy, a gender fluid twink, and a strong black woman all walk into a bar and say, "Fuck it! It's Pride, y'all! Let's take it out into the streets and celebrate!" Pride is just around the corner, so today we're taking a look at some fabulous tips and tricks to make your Pride celebration fierce and fabulous. Ooh. Joining us is Colette Gregory, a strong, she-larious black woman who's co-producing and co-starring Shade, an actually diverse comedy show at Steppenwolf's 1700 Theater. The show includes performances by Colette, Shannon Null, and Peter S. Kim, from, you guys heard them from this podcast, and it's going to be happening one night only, next Thursday, June 15th. So if you miss it, don't come crying to me. Welcome, Colette.
Hello, Feast of Fun.
Hi, Colette. And the show is actually called, the title is Shade, an actually diverse comedy show.
Yes, unless there was any questions, hunty. We wanted you to know that Shade was going to be happening. So we wanted people of color and LGBTQIA community to know that they were welcome there and that it was actually diverse. We're not playing games.
So you were...
Uh-huh. And so who's the shade are you actually throwing to by saying it's actually... This show is actually diverse.
Straight white men.
Any specific institutions or showcases or anything like that?
No.
Come on, what's the tea?
Because a bitch got to work around town. I love everybody. No, we wanted to create a platform for people who look like us and loved like us where they could be celebrated during Pride Month. So we weren't trying to throw shade specifically at other people who produce or organizations that produce comedy, but we wanted to create a safe space where people of color weren't like just, you know, oh, we have one person in the lineup, or someone who was LGBTQ wasn't like an afterthought on the lineup, or those fun things when they do someone who's both queer and a person of color, and they're like, oh, you get to do both at the same time, so we can cross that off our list. We wanted them to be in the forefront.
So other theater and comedy showcases are battlegrounds.
Oh, girl. Okay. Battlegrounds.
Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. I mean, there are people who book shows, and they don't book shows primarily trying to keep it full of people of color or people who are LGBTQ. They book shows for what they believe are the audiences who want to see comedy, and they believe that those audiences are straight white men who want to see other straight white men. And then they'll pepper in a little, you know, hot sauce or lube here and there to spice it up.
And so in the past, you've been sort of the hot sauce and the lube that in other
sometimes
showcases.
Both. Yes.
You
yes.
were involved in the controversial show A Red Line Runs Through It at Second City.
I was, yes. I was an understudy on that show.
And tell us why that show became controversial. Peter S. Kim famously stormed off of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a show that happened on Second City's ETC Theater. It was one of the most diverse shows that had ever been put up at Second City. It had an Asian male who was gay as part of the ensemble. That's Peter Kim. It had two African-American women, Asia Bullock and Lisa Beasley. previously on the show, and the show dealt specifically with what does the Red Line run through in Chicago. It runs through segregated neighborhoods, and it talked about segregation, racism, police brutality, and the audiences at Second City weren't necessarily ready to see a show that was predominantly featuring people of color and LGBTQ artists, and they let their thoughts about let their thoughts be known that they weren't necessarily comfortable watching those people and hearing the type of political comedy that those people had to present.
And so when Trump's rise to power, it empowered a lot of assholes, basically.
Yeah, yeah, that would be the word for those people.
In this country to sort of vocalize their hate speech in places that is not welcome. And I was always like, why don't they just get bouncers to kick these people out?
Yeah, I mean, it ended up happening that Second City did have to hire security to escort people out when those things happened. There were some critics in town who had some comments that they made that they felt like a comedy show should be open to audience interaction. It should be a place for dialogue. But we forget that comedians are also human beings. And who wants to go to work every day and know that you're going to be subject to abuse? There are people calling Peter the F word. There are people calling the women in the show whores, bitches, sluts, ghetto. That's a lot to work up when you're doing your job and you're trying to entertain people. And then also when you do political comedy to an extent, you're trying to educate people. And so the show ended up being cut early, closing early, because of the things that were happening both on stage and backstage.
And I think to have a funny show, there needs to be a trust between the performers and the audience. And when the audience comes in combative, it's really hard to be funny when you they're literally there to punch you in the face verbally.
Exactly.
Or physically.
Or physically, yeah. You know, I've heard tell of things like that happening, and it's hard because it's a comedy theater. Second City being a landmark in Chicago, people come here who are not necessarily the liberal, democratic people who are from Chicago. You get people from all over the nation, from small towns. I want the Chicago experience. Yeah. You know, I think that I'm seeing Chris Farley and, you know, maybe some, like, less political good old boy humor. You know, you're just there for a wacky show, and then you're getting something that's just 90 minutes of politics, race, you know, LGBTQ things, and that's not necessarily something that you're used to dialoguing with in your regular life. And people get upset because they're paying a certain amount of money and their expectations aren't necessarily met. They're being asked to think about things that they, you know, probably don't want to think about, asking them to expand their minds in ways that they maybe are not ready to. And it was unfortunate that the show, which had really great critical acclaim, had to close early because audiences decided, instead of internalizing the conversations that were happening on stage or, you know, taking some time after the show to deal with them, they decided to take out their own issues on the cast.
And the whole goal of these shows is to have fun. And when you turn it into this political battleground, you just kind of have to walk away from the dumpster fire that it's become.
It is. And, you know, there are people who are saying that, like, Second City did not necessarily train their audiences to be able to be open to that.
Yeah, I said that.
Oh. Okay, well, she gonna call herself out. You know, I was trying to be nice, but, you know.
Well, they could have, you know, I think part of it is that, and I talked about this with Peter personally, so sorry putting you on blast, but I felt like, you know, I don't want to devalue his decisions to walk away from the show, and I probably would have done the same thing if I had been in the same situation. But there's also another way to approach it is to stay and fight, and to stay and shape and mold your audience, because you ultimately are in charge when you're standing there on stage. They paid the money to come throw tomatoes at you, so maybe make a salad.
Yeah.
But there are some changes that came out of it. Now there's signs outside that say, like, you know, racist, homophobic, misogynistic language won't be tolerated, and you will be asked to leave. And we've been at comedy shows before. Our friend Jeffrey J was performing. We had some rude people behind making fun of him for being trans. And when the headliner came up, he was just like, who are those people that were saying that stuff? Kick them out. Get them out. And so, you know, I think that when you have a comedy show and you have people drinking and the ugly side of them comes out, it's just get rid of them.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that maybe us comedians, maybe we need to start doing combat training. I don't know, you know, so that
doing like a little stage combat,
a little stage combat, but you know, actual where the fist, right the now. Fist we'll does meet face. And see what you do. Yeah, that's so sweet. That's why I came on here. Thank you.
This really caused a huge uproar in the comedy community and in the arts community, and people were really following this story and to seeing how it panned out. Has it settled down, or is it still?
Well, you know, the current show, the main stage show that's on right now, Second City, which I'm also understudying that, there's an announcement at the beginning of the show that says that if you feel the need to shout racist, homophobic, you know, anti-immigrant slurs, to go home, shout it into a pillow, and then suffocate yourself with it. Well, there were critics in the city who decided that they wanted to write articles about that and say that that was the saddest thing ever, that that had to happen at the beginning of a comedy show. And, you know, I think that it's important to set the tone, kind of what you were saying, like how you have to educate audiences and prepare audiences for what you're going to see. Setting that tone at the beginning of the show, having those signs out in the lobby, there have been less incidents of back and forth issues between the audience members and the cast because of that. Security has been hired to remove people when situations like that do occur. I think that it's a learning process. You know, we're all figuring out how to live under Trump's America with emboldened racists, so and emboldened homophobes. People they're trying their best in the comedy world.
So tell me about Shade, the actually diverse comedy show. Like, how did you guys create this show in this atmosphere?
Yeah, so my co-producer, David Perez, I love you, David. David is a comedian in New York, does Upright Citizens Brigade out there. David and I met years ago, I won't say how many years because he might age me, working at Steppenwolf in Chicago. We kind of started doing comedy around the same time, and we're just like, that's crazy that like our careers evolved in that way, that we started doing comedy at the same time. And I found out that Steppenwolf has this new space, the 1700 Theater, and a new series called Lookout, where they're bringing in different types of acts so that people get introduced to Steppenwolf. But it's not necessarily just, you know, hard-hitting theater. It's comedy, it's music, recordings of podcasts, storytelling. And I thought this would be a great space and opportunity to give a platform. One of the things, in addition to being a comedian, I am a mental health therapist, and I also am a social justice advocate. And one of my big things is
you're Wonder Woman.
I mean, you said it, and I am agreeing. And I'm agreeing.
What is it? Fighting for our rights in your satin tights?
Yes, Andy, but it's a little too hot for tights right now. But in the winter, one of the things that I feel is really important is to create platforms for other marginalized artists. And so, you know, I do identify strongly as an ally, but I am not a gay person. As much as I pray every night that God will make me a gay man, it has not happened yet.
All you just need to do is like grab a woman and go.
I
want to
be a gay man.
Oh, you want to be a gay man?
Yeah.
We'll just transition.
Man. Yeah. So much work. so I'm also lazy.
So you identify as a strong, hilarious black woman.
I am. She-larious.
She-larious.
Yeah, but I wanted to work with David because he does identify as gay, and for us to come together and create a platform for other people like us, and to be able to do it on at a theater at Steppenwolf. And this is one of the first shows of its kind at Steppenwolf. Yeah. You know, how many people of color, how many people from marginalized communities, how many LGBTQ people get to have Steppenwolf on their resume? And so,
and for the listeners out there that don't know what Steppenwolf is, it's, you know, it's a world famous theater company here in Chicago that's launched the careers of many people you would know. Like, could you
Gary Sinise,
Martha Plimpton. Actually, she performed in it. She was in Goonies first.
Yes. Okay. Yes. John Malkovich.
Yes. I gotta tell you, the story is like, I always thought Martha Plimpton was from Chicago because Steppenwolf would just market the fuck out of her, you know, and all they made it seem like she's from Chicago. So I went to one of those gay roller skating parties in Brooklyn in the park, and she was there roller skating, and I went up to her and I went, hey, Chicago girl's here, and she just looked at me like, get away from me.
But even like Terrell Alvin McCraney, right, who everybody knows from Moonlight, was a Steppenwolf ensemble member years before he's winning Oscars. So
did he win an Oscar?
Hunty. He won that Oscar. Some people were in his, parallel in his moonlight, but yes.
Yeah.
So to be able to give, you know, these people from marginalized communities an opportunity to shine on such a big stage is something that's very important to me. So that was the thinking behind Shade.
And so you go and participate in Pride celebrations as a Chicago girl.
Yes.
As a, you know, a strong, hilarious black woman.
Mm-hmm.
And today I wanted to talk about a lot about people coming to Chicago. We get millions of people coming in from the region, from all around the country, to celebrate Pride, because it's one of the biggest Pride celebrations mm-hmm. in the country. And sometimes it's a clusterfuck. It's a hot mess. And I'm putting out this information. We put out this information every year as a public service. Doing God's work to sort of protect people or prepare them for what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I like your first tip and trick. You were just like, you know, have a good breakfast.
Yes, you got a carbo load. You know, I know that we want our bodies right for summer, but this day is not about, you know, keeping your bodies right. It's about making sure that you don't throw up and look like a dumbass. So make sure you have a good breakfast, pre-party at someone's house, get your eggs in, get your toast, your cinnamon rolls, whatever you have to do so that you have a nice foundation to absorb all that alcohol that you will be consuming.
And you also don't know when you're going to eat again. Because
exactly.
If you go to the parade, you know, food is hard to come by. Sometimes, mm-hmm, or it's mm-hmm. just like you don't necessarily want
it's
to eat that.
It's a war zone out there. You don't know. Is.
Well, in the Puerto people. Rican Pride Parade, mm-hmm. there's literally like shish kebab vendors and
oh yeah,
you know, rice and beans and fried plantains.
Your people
and,
do it better,
you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah. then Pride parades, they have mini burgers.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the best thing.
They have mini burgers. Nobody told me about.
I've
mini
seen
burgers.
Like the rainbow Jello shots.
Yeah.
That the nice like Hispanic ladies like do. I'm like every year. I'm like I should have thought about that. I should be paid like you know out of a cooler. Selling people many rainbow colored
shots.
That'll
get you $1,000 fine, though, or $100 fine. Oh,
if I make more above it, though, if I make, you know.
It's a risk. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think a bowl of oatmeal.
Yeah.
I know oatmeal can be kind of boring, but yeah. It's like if you add some crushed nuts. Well, food coloring. Crushed nuts and some fruit. It's mm-hmm. a great way to start.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people it's like get those little bags that your shoes come in mm-hmm. that you can throw over your shoulder. Mm-hmm. Travel light, you
yeah.
know,
yeah.
and then you can put three things.
Granola bars.
Mm-hmm. A lube. Charger. Four yes. things. A bottle of lube. a water bottle,
mm-hmm.
an apple, because it's easy to eat and something fresh to
yes.
clean your mouth.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, useful. And this is a controversial thing, is sunblock.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to do a public service announcement.
Yes. Yes.
One of the fastest growing demographics girls. For skin cancer is African Americans.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I learned that the hard way. I went to Cancun with my gay best friend. Hi, Eric. I love you. Before anyone else loved us, we loved each other. So we went on a couple's trip to Cancun, and I got burnt to a crisp. I had a horrible sunglass tan. He just laughed at me the whole time. I had to go throughout the rest of the trip. I burned all the pictures from that with this horrible tan. Like, I peeled afterwards. I was like, I'm black. Why terrible. Is this happening to me? Because I didn't know you have to reapply. So no, yeah. don't only bring sunscreen. Reapply, girls. Reapply. Because apparently the white people aren't telling us we need to do this, like, every couple of hours.
Well, why don't you know that, though?
Why would I know that? Because usually I'm not, like, on the equator burning to a crisp.
Oh,
like,
yeah. So it's the yeah. difference because you're closer to the yeah. equator. So it's hotter sun there.
I didn't know.
Well, also, climate know. Change is mm-hmm. making UV rays more oh, yeah. damaging to our skin than ever. Yeah. And the Mayo Clinic recommends everyone, regardless of the race, to wear sunblock to protect themselves.
Yes.
There's some people out there that say that you shouldn't wear sunblock at all, and it's because they say that the chemicals in it are bad because they leach into your body. The other thing, too, is like you, but the thing is, what do you do? Because your body needs sunlight to mm-hmm. produce vitamin D,
yeah.
Which keeps you healthy, because vitamin D is actually a hormone mm-hmm. and helps your body repair itself and keeps your mm-hmm. immunity up. And if you don't take vitamin D, you can become very sickly.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about Pride is mm-hmm. that you're going to be in the hot sun
yeah.
mm-hmm.
for hours on end with very little breaks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so you want to protect your skin. Normally, if you go out for a walk, you're going to be out in the sun for maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a big difference between 2 or 3 hours of boom, choo, 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 you know.
Yeah.
it's okay to go alone.
Yeah, right? It's definitely, I mean, people are so friendly and open on Pride. You know, you will make new friends. You'll be hugging people, taking pictures. It's not necessarily, you don't have to go home with them alone, but it's okay to go alone. That day is all about, like, your chosen family. So it's a safe place to do that.
Do costume or not costume? Because costumes can be fun, but they can also be a hassle. And then if you have, like, props with your costume, what do you do with them when the costume is over?
Okay, here in Chicago, our Pride celebration is going to be on the last Sunday of the month. Yes. So you have about, right now, two to three weeks, right?
Gather girls.
Get on Amazon.com, go to Target, get that your rainbow accessories ahead of time. Don't buy it from the vendor. Well, I'm a big believer of just last-minute kind of things, but... Mm-hmm. Your feather boas are going to choke you. Mm-hmm. They're going to get hot.
Oh, They'll
stick to your skin. The feathers to your skin. That's not a cute look. Wilted feathers. Mm-mm.
You want wristbands with Wonder Woman right now. You know, rainbow Wonder Woman wristbands are going to be very popular.
What's your rainbow watch thing?
I have a rainbow wristband for the
watch.
Yeah. It's in a drawer.
Oh.
But the problem is that the buckle scratches the laptop.
Oh.
So I can't wear it and work on the computer at the same time.
Oh.
It's a special occasion wristband.
Comfortable shoes?
Yes. Yes.
Talk to the lesbians. Mm-hmm. See what works.
If you bring a pair of heels, bring a pair of sneakers, put on the heels for the photo shoots and for the, you know, the moments, and then... Put the tennis shoes
in your
done,
shoe bag. Have a change of shoes. Yeah, I agree.
And there's no ATM, so bring your cash.
Yes.
You know, because there's no even, like, you can't even use, like, you know, wireless payment like Google Pay or Apple Pay. It's like it's a cash society.
Yes. Definitely for sure on days like that. There's some bars that will still take credit cards depending on where you go.
But you're gonna wait forever. They probably will have like a high minimum.
And then you can just drop your cash and then you can go.
Yes.
But you also have to be careful too because like, there's a lot of pickpockets that work these kinds of things. So mind your money and mind your wallet.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend Kathy when she goes to events like this. All she does is she looks to the ground for money and sees that there's money on the floor. And you know what? She finds it.
Okay. I have a new goal this year.
Yeah, I used to do that at toll stops on the highway whenever you're throwing coins at the thing. Open your car door. There's always coins in the bottom.
Yeah.
But I guess I found out that that's illegal to do that.
Should we be announcing that?
But it's so...
Statute of limitations are over.
Yeah.
So don't steal the money that fell on the floor. But I guess people throw the coins and the coins don't go in. So instead of opening the car door and reaching down, they just keep throwing more coins. So there's always coins at the toll booth.
How to make money at Pride, hunty. Yes. We are preaching abundance today. Yes.
It's the wealth prayers. What about sex? Like, Mark, you always say just give up on sex.
Well, listen, if it happens, it happens. But it's the kind of people are like, oh, you're going to hook up at Pride. You're going to hook up at Pride. It's like, I'm too busy talking to people and hanging out with my friends. And then I've got this one saddling me down.
It's me. You're talking about me.
I'm just kidding. But, you know, it's hard to do. I suppose I probably have maybe at some point in my life, but not that I can even remember because it's not to me. It's about that kind of community and just having fun and seeing your friends more than anything.
Here's my little secret to copping a feel. You can't have sex, but you can cop a feel. Mm-hmm. You can make out with somebody. Mm-hmm. Bring a camera, a nice camera.
Okay.
And then you bring a friend to help you take the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you find that person you're attracted to, regardless of their gender identity. And you're like, hey, let's take a photo together, you know? And a lot of people are in a really good mood. So you go there and then you put your hands around their waist and you get snuggle up.
Mm-hmm.
And so the photo op is a great opportunity to feel if there's chemistry between you and another person.
And by chemistry, you mean a hard-on.
Yeah, okay.
I wanted to confirm.
And Pride is, you know, because there's a lot of allies that come out there and straight people and straight guys. And if you're in drag, a lot of times those straight guys get very curious on Pride.
And horny.
Because they see this very sexualized atmosphere. And like, why not? But I feel like also, too, here in Chicago, there's something about the gay Pride parades changed over the years. Is that it's really became a teenage event. That all these suburban teenagers.
Oh, my God. The trains are horrible. Yes. Just suburban teenagers, just drunk and clueless.
So just watch out. Remember, the legal age in Illinois is 17.
Oh, wow.
Unless you're like
that's young.
Well, it's not that, you know, it's only a year under 18.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have like a position of authority over them, like let's say you're their priest or their coach or their teacher or something like that.
But don't get them drunk. Don't give them booze.
You have a great idea, which is find a safe house in the neighborhood.
Yes. If you need to have a friend or a friend of a friend who lives in the neighborhood, an apartment that can be, you know, kind of ground zero. So make sure that friend has multiple keys. This is what me and my friends do every year. Give those keys to your respectable black female best friend.
Those is you.
AKA me, to make sure when people
need you're the straight one, you're the square.
I know, isn't that sad?
You're the one who doesn't drink and is responsible.
I didn't drink.
Okay. She's drinking wine right now. Do you need a refill, my dear?
As soon as I came in the house. I mean, if you want to get me a refill. But yeah, this person is responsible. If there's multiple sets of keys, getting people back there for potty breaks, to get more water, you know, the breakfast leftovers are there. So it's very important to have what I would call like a safe house that is ground zero that you go back to throughout the parade, because bars aren't going to let you just use the bathroom. You know, they're going to want you to pay. There's going to be a long line in order to do that.
For the public porta
or the porta potties. Those are disgusting. Yeah, have hand sanitizer if you're going to use those. But yeah, have someone that you know in the neighborhood that you can go back to, if even if you just need to rest, right? Like if you're having too much sun, too much heat, or you know, you need to take somebody back to the house. Someplace that you can go to for a respite.
Let's talk about fights and getting along with people. People love to use pride is the one day they're going to punch those right-wing Christian fundamentalist, God hates fag sign people in the face. And, you know, those Nazis, those right-wingers, they want you to punch them in the face because it builds sympathy for their cause and they can also sue you.
Yeah. You know, there's this whole sentiment that, like, do you punch a Nazi? Yes, you do, because Nazis don't believe that you're a human. I believe that you are better than a Nazi. I don't know. Call me crazy. I believe that I'm better than a Nazi and I don't need to fall into their same line of thinking. You know, I'm a big fan of, like, the social gospel and Dr. Martin Luther King, and that you get more friends, or as my grandfather used to say, you would get more flies with honey than with shit. So there's some old school blackness for you right there. You get more flies with honey than with shit. That your cause, as much as you can try to be righteous, as you can try to be loving, show them that you're better than them.
Or just ignore them.
Or just ignore those motherfuckers.
You know, part of it is just, I think sometimes pride can be so boring that you kind of want to, they're always like
some kind of entertainment, right?
Yeah, you want to see a fight break out. And so inevitably you see somebody who had too much to drink go up to these right wingers. And you're like, fight, 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 fight. And, you know, of course, the police are like, you know, what about like, and inevitably when Pride Month comes around, there's always articles, even from our own community, saying that we're superficial, that we're, you know, too horny, that we're, pride is too flamboyant, that gay, there was one article that was ran in the Windy City Times about last year, talking about how gay men are too focused on quick, immediate sex, and we don't have the ability to form lasting relationships with each other. And or the article that came out in Time a couple years ago that like
resurfaced again.
What's more annoying than a white gay man who thinks he can do a flawless Monique impersonation?
Monique wishes she could do a Monique. Okay, anyway, I'm gonna be good. I think that all those articles, the purposes of those are to divide us. And especially the fact that those always surface during Pride. They're trying to keep our eyes off of the prize, which is to love each other, which is inclusion, which is what Pride was about, was celebrating a community that any other month of the year or any other day of the year wasn't allowed to be out and open and flamboyant, if you will. Those articles are divisive. And
but they do have a point. And is it okay to like criticize each other? But it seems like these critical articles happen when we're all busy having a party.
Yeah.
When we're you know.
The Debbie Downers is what you're saying.
It's a little bit.
But wait, I have something
to
say.
Those articles can also come out other times of the year, but part of it is also, you know, the summer months are kind of slow news. Mm-hmm. Right now with Comey testifying,
are wet net right now, yes.
But it just feels like, and I'm curious, and we were talking about this before we started taping, is like what Trump's America, the Republican, Russian fascist oligarchical takeover of our nation's political system, what how that's going to affect us at Pride, and in some ways it's going to unite us a lot more, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so. I'm excited for this Pride. I think that it's going to be more political. I think that we're going to see people hopefully using Pride as an opportunity to mobilize around these issues, you know, be it fundraising, be it to have a presence of people who are not necessarily usually highlighted at Pride. So I'm looking for Pride to be more intersectional, you know, more people of color, more people from who are disabled, more trans people getting a platform at this Pride.
Maybe there's not enough gender nonconforming people in wearing bikini briefs and, you know, high heel shoes are about to collapse at Pride celebrations.
I think that there, first for me, there's never enough of those personally, but I think that they're going to be more celebrated, and I think that there's hopefully going to be more fundraising and more actionable positivity. Yeah. So not just entertaining and having fun and getting drunk for the sake of it, but I hope that there's going to be the presence of people like from HRC and Equality Illinois. I think that they're going to get a lot more supporters and hopefully financial support out of this year's Pride because of what's happening. You know, Planned Parenthood has seen an amazing bump in their fundraising efforts under this current Trump regime. And so I'm thinking that this Pride is going to be similarly energized in that way. And I also think people are going to be looking for, it might be a more fun Pride. It might be a more outlandish. It might be a more exciting Pride because people are stressed out in their day-to-day reading all this stuff in the news cycle. So I think we're going to be out there trying to, like, rally and party because we're sick of it. I
have should we be nice to the LGBT people for Trump float in the Pride parade?
I don't think you'll see one. And there was one, I think it was on the East Coast somewhere. These people applied to be in a Pride parade and they were denied. And, you know, maybe they applied too late or whatever the reason was, but they were very upset that they weren't allowed to march. But it's just kind of like, no,
girl, I have no opinion for you. This is not the show for you.
No.
Yeah.
Because you're not really fine. But I think, though, that, like, Pride, you know, first of all, now, you know, used to be a protest, and I think we're still as an element of protest, but it really over the years it has become somewhat, you know, more of a celebration. And I can notice that, you know, from the difference between May, like the end of May, and then that June 1st, because we live in a pretty gay neighborhood of Andersonville, and just walking around, people just looked happier, just knowing that it was Pride and like the rainbow things were coming out. And I mentioned it to somebody, and they were actually like, yeah, I've kind of noticed that too. People seem happier today just because it's June.
Well, wait a second.
What?
Wait a second.
Does the devil need an advocate?
What's about Monty Hunty? You know, with Pride celebrations, it costs money to do these things. Someone's got to pay the bill. And so they charge people to participate in the parade is one way to make the money. And other Pride celebrations have sold the rights to a fracking company to that actually, when they're not involved in this Pride celebration, they give money to anti-gay Republican politicians who are also pro-fracking. That was the city of Pittsburgh, controversially. In Austin, Texas, people felt that the Pride celebrations were so making love to big money that they organized counter celebrations like Queer Bomb that were completely commercial free. And, you know, my feeling about it is, there's no wrong way to celebrate Pride. If you want to give money to the devil or make a pact with the devil, that's one way to do it. But it takes, you know, it is a rainbow flag.
Somebody has to pay Jay Hud's fee to sing, you know.
But it is a rainbow flag. And I think with a rainbow celebration, we have to keep in mind the red in the rainbow can mean evil, too.
And the green means money.
And the green means money. And sometimes, you know, a diverse community sometimes has to make alliances with horrible, terrible, awful people. And at the same time, it's not how I like to live my life, and it's not the kind of alliances that I want to make. And I would like those alliances with oppressive forces of our society to be at a minimum. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, if you want to make money, if you want to get drunk, if you want to be a fool of yourself, there's no wrong way to celebrate Pride. We've fought so much to get to this point. You know, to me, it's like, I would be very embarrassed if I was the person who was responsible for associating my Pride celebration with a fracking Republican anti-gay company. I would think that would be a mistake. But at the same time, cut them a break. And if you don't like it, Stay home. There's no wrong way to celebrate Pride. Yeah.
I think that, you know, we're in a situation right now where there's like always call out culture, right? So like this week we're mad at Bill Maher and last week we're mad at Stephen Colbert. It's always somebody every week that we're calling out. And I think the issue is not so much more with, you know, who is a pure ally, but if we're actually thinking critically anymore. No one's perfect. All of our faves are problematic. I'm sure there's something that I do or some way that I operate in the world that is problematic to someone else who is going to be like, oh, I'm more woke than you. Mm-hmm. So I think what we just need to more focus on is being critical consumers. So, you know, yes, I can still watch the show. I can still enjoy this comedian, but I know that this person has these issues and I will do what I can to still be an ally to those people who are affected by those issues. But when you just throw everyone away, you create this system where, you know, all we got is plain white rice. Because, you know, oh, well, this thing is blemished in that way, and this thing is problematic in this way. And it's the same with Pride. Pride is about a greater good. At the end of the day, Pride is about supporting LGBTQI communities. And if we're getting money from the devil to do it, well, that was stupid of the devil to give us that money. Because guess what? We're going to make it fabulous with your money.
As RuPaul says, don't be throwing no shade. I just want to get paid. I just want to get paid. Tell the man with the money to come over here and pay me. Last year we got paid to be in Pride.
We did. Okay. I'm hoping somebody will offer to pay us again this year.
We still got a couple weeks.
Because that's the best way to do it is just be up on the back of a truck and just be like waving at people. Hey, hi.
Use Trojan condoms. I'm on PrEP, but, you know, use Trojan condoms. Yeah.
There's other diseases that PrEP doesn't address.
There is. Condoms? Now there's mumps are spreading.
Mumps? On your dick?
Mumps in Los Angeles.
Mumps on your dick?
Not in the mumps.
In your throat. Good God. No, but I guess in Los Angeles, there's been like 40 cases, and most of them are gay men. Well, it's spread like through saliva and stuff like that. It's highly infectious. You know, you can kiss people using different utensils or lipstick.
There goes my Pride kind of song.
Thank you for ruining Pride with dick mumps. Thanks.
But, you know, we've all been inoculated. If you live here in the United States, you've been inoculated. But I guess the inoculations aren't that strong. And so then some people coming in from other nations have never been inoculated or vaccinated.
Are you telling us not to fuck foreigners?
Well,
are you
just
we want to have a Trump Pride.
You can survive. My brother had mumps when he was a little kid. He had some kind of operation for it. And he still has a scar on his neck from it.
Oh, my God.
Mouths are like jaws. I'm are dropped in this bitch.
I am a dead. It was nice knowing you, everybody. So remember fever, me as a peacemaker. Fatigue,
remember Clyde Gregory? She died of dick mumps.
You can also get
Pride 2017.
We're done. We're goners.
It's not so much dick, it's ball, though, because one of the symptoms you can get
I'll be
orchitis, which is inflammation of the testicles.
Well, you know, I'm lucky because I never cut the balls.
I'm like Joan Rivers. She said it was they asked her about blowjobs. She's like, I'm a old Jewish woman. I don't suck dicks.
No comment.
Otherwise, you know, beer gone. When you were saying kissing spreads mumps, I was like, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I got really scared for a second.
You share lipstick with somebody?
I don't like people, so no.
You're not. I'm a people person. And when Pride comes, you know, baby, I've been training. I've been tanning. I've been, you know, grooming and stuff.
Exfoliating your lips.
I'm the awful person that I warned everybody about throughout the year. Now I'm like, you know, it's okay to be conforming to the gender. Yeah, man. It's like, it's a day to experiment. It's a day to get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, be comfortable and stay home and have a nice tall glass of lemonade iced tea, or as known as an Arnold Palmer. Throw a little vodka in there.
Yes, or a lot.
Or do something. You know, it's Pride is for you to be comfortable with diversity.
Yes.
The rainbow flag is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's even for strong, hilarious black women like Colette Gregory.
Yes.
But Colette, I always say that inside all gay men is a strong, hilarious black woman. You actually are one.
I am.
What's inside you?
Oh, God. No one's ever asked me that. Thank you so much for asking. There's a smaller, blacker, more hilarious woman inside of me. And then inside of her, there's an amazing gay man. I identify strong.
What does he look like?
What is he? He hot. He is ripped for the gods, hunty. He is the finest. Now, I identify strongly as an ally. You know, I mean, the beautiful creature that you see in front of you wasn't always here. And I grew up in L.A., had the misfortune of moving to Indiana when I was in high school. And people were like, oh, my God, why does she talk like that? Why does she dress like that? And the community that took me in was the theater community, a.k.a. the gay community. Mm-hmm. And so I will always go to bat for the gay community because they went to bat for me.
The drama club is the stealth LGBTQI club.
On the low, low key.
When you can't get that approved by the school, you're like, let's start a drama club.
Exactly.
Yeah. But you were one of those toddlers in tiaras.
Yes. I did my fair share of pageants.
Like, how old were you and how did you get into the pageants?
I bet you were fabulous.
Well, my mom is quite fabulous. And so I was like a secondary diva. I call her like the OD, like original diva.
Well, isn't that how it works? The mom is really into it. So she pushes the kid into it. Exactly. All my dreams are going to come through you.
So you were more like Honey Boo Boo or? Did you have go-go juice?
No. I mean, my mom's also like super educated, like super driven. So it was more so like, you know, she was very gorgeous, was a model in Paris. And, you know, she saw some potential in me. And then I went through an ugly stage during puberty. So when I had to join the drama club. But yeah, I mean,
what do you mean by ugly stage in puberty? That's usually like you felt like you felt you were ugly.
I mean, I had, you know, I had acne. And I mean, now they've worked out. I had huge boobs sprout when I was like 10 years old.
Thing?
When you were 10, nobody was ready for that. I certainly, mama wasn't ready for that.
My female friends, some of them had big boobs in school. And, you know, like a lot of the boys were not allowed to talk to them.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I never heard that before.
Because they had big boobs. And I was like, my mother didn't fucking care. You know, she's pretty gay as they come. So I would be friends with all the big boob girls.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, see, that's how it starts. Yeah. That's how it starts, those alliances. But yeah, so I appreciate pageants for the same reason that I appreciate Drag Race, because it's just an art form.
What is that?
Have you heard of that, Drag Race?
No.
It's. I'll tell you guys about it later. It's this little show.
I have a good meme about that I can share with you guys.
But, you know, just costumes and talent.
What would you do for your talent as a little
I was and am a singer, so, you know, some of that would.
So you were singing, like, you know, musical, like, what musical songs were you singing?
You know, the little girls, they sing some Annie and then some Little Mermaid.
And nothing like, what is it, the Wiz?
The Wiz? Oh, yeah. That was actually my go-to. I don't know. Okay, you know, some
when
deep cuts.
When I think of home.
Yes, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. I wish I was home. I wish I was back there. Yeah.
Can you sing it like an opera singer?
Oh, I could, but I won't.
When I think of home.
Yeah. So,
wow, that's some pipes.
I was a voice major in undergrad, so yeah. So
any dream
classically
girls?
Trained. Yes,
I don't want to turn you into a jukebox.
No way. No way. I'm living without you.
Can I give you some feedback into blacking it
up? Of course not. And that's the issue right there. The white gay, the Hispanic gay is going to teach me how to be blacker.
You got to do this. You got to go, ha, ha, ha.
After my 17 glasses of red wine. After my 17 glasses of red wine.
Did you win any titles?
Yeah.
I was always a runner up.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That's a crime.
Did you ever win Miss Congeniality?
Yes. That was, you know, we all know what that means.
Congratulations. They have,
we all know what that means.
For RuPaul's Drag Race, there's a thing going on right now for like what your Miss Congeniality vote says about you.
Mm-hmm.
James Mansfield. You remember James Mansfield. Kimora Black. You also don't know what an adjective is.
Yeah.
Are you still laughing about James?
I think that's really funny. Sorry, James.
James listens to the show. Charles Hines. You don't know what congeniality means.
Oh.
Eureka O'Hara. You have no clue what congeniality means. Cynthia Lee Fontaine. You want to watch the world burn.
Damn.
Aja. You're beautiful. You're perfect. You're a meme-loving fuck. Pheromone. You want to fuck Pheromone. Valentina, you are the bitterest person on earth. Nina Bonina Brown, you're not grasping this congeniality concept at all. Alexis Michelle, you didn't vote for Alexis. Don't lie. Peppermint, you get how this process works. Sasha Velour, you're a white, self-proclaimed SJW. What is SJW?
Social Justice Warrior.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Trinity Taylor, she had an arc, you guys. What top three? How does this show work? And Shea Coulee, you really just want her to have it all.
Mm-hmm. Who are you rooting for in this season of Drag Race? Or did you stop watching like a lot of people did when they moved to VH1?
She has stopped watching, yeah.
Since you know, I have a lot of coworkers who are huge fans of Drag Race. Mm-hmm. They can name you rare, obscure, even for me, stuff. And the move to VH1 has broadened the audience, but has alienated its base tremendously. And I'm curious to see
catch up, though, won't they?
If how that affects the show and how it affects the demographic of the show, because I feel like it was so great to be able to catch it on Logo Online, and now unless you're at home on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, and most of us don't even get done with work till 6, and so we're racing in our car going.
Fridays are like a decompressing or like a going out day, depending on who you are.
Or you can just watch in the Brazilian RuPaul's Drag Race page on Facebook. Which is what most people are doing. And, and I'm just like, so what, VH1, why aren't you putting it on their site? It's so stupid. Yeah. I don't know. I'm frustrated with the direction the season has gone in terms of like, they started editing down the runway. Mm. They changed some aspects of the show and it just feels like...
I heard it's more commercial now. That's what I've heard.
What do you mean by more commercial?
That they've kind of toned down the more queer elements of the show as far as like sponsorship, as far as challenges, as far as outtakes. I can't say for sure because I haven't watched it personally, but that's feedback that I've heard from people.
Yeah. And so you, how did you feel about the inner saboteur of Nina Bonina, Osama Bin Laden, Banana Fofana Brown?
She hasn't watched it.
I haven't watched it. I've missed this season. I think it's interesting that she got Osama in her name. Okay.
I like a lot of things about Nina, but the one thing, and I think this is a thing that, you know, as a Puerto Rican, I get criticized a lot about this, is our inability to stick to a schedule or show up on time or to commit to, like, appointments.
Well, I am a person of color, so I'm not going to hate on anybody.
Can you talk a little bit about, like, culturally how disenfranchised people struggle with, you know, a calendar or a clock?
Can you speak to why you're always late? No, I think that there are things that happen.
You were on time, by the way.
I was early.
It was 5 minutes. And I tell this to people. It's like, it's a challenge I face every day. But
Cost is late for everything.
PT is slower than CPT.
Yes. Oh, yeah. No, I've heard. Yeah. In the Latino cultures in general. I think that first of all, it's a cultural thing about like what time means, you know, there's island time. Right. So island time, things are a little bit more like laid back, a lot more lax. But also just in general, like I said, I'm a therapist. And one of the things that I was taught as a therapist is like if you have a client of color or you have like a Hispanic client to factor in time for that and to be understanding to those things, because there, if you are a person who comes from a community of color, you tend to be a person who comes from a financially disadvantaged community. So that means that you're taking public transportation. That might mean that you have lack of childcare options. There's all these other hurdles that these people are facing that the average person who, you know, owns a car, who has people around them that operate on a more Western time schedule that they don't face. So,
what do you say to somebody that you're trying to cast in a show or you're trying to work with, and they just don't want to commit to a, you know, 3 p.m. on a Wednesday or Saturday, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, there's something that, there are conversations that we had in my therapy program about pulling people aside. You know, I work a lot. When I went to school, I wanted to work with college students. And there was a conversation that we had around, if you want to work with college students and you're working with first generation college students of color or immigrant students, pulling them aside and having a conversation with them about if you want to succeed, in a certain field, if you want to succeed in academia, there's not going to be the people who are reading your papers or who are teaching your classes aren't necessarily coming from the same worldview, and you have to play the game. And I think you do people a disservice if you don't have that conversation with them, because not everyone's going to be like, oh, I'm a therapist and I understand that, you know, things might be hard at home. Not everyone's going to have my mindset. So if I really am serving, if I'm a therapist to a college student of color, I should have that real talk with them so that they can get further in their life, in their jobs, that not everybody's going to be open and understanding like me.
A lot of us have smartphones, though, and they have calendars and, you know, maps applications that give us, tell us how long it's going to take to get from point A to point B. And part
but it's
of
a
it,
mindset, though, isn't
and
it?
The times that I'm late for things, now, even when I do put it, is, and I'll be real honest, it's just like, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
And I just want to hit the snooze button. And I think the snooze button is the most, it's a white man's devil's tool.
Well, self-care is also something that I think that you need to train the people in your life that you to understand about you. You know, like for people who struggle with depression or anxiety, social anxiety, sometimes you don't feel like going out, right? Like when you schedule to go to the party, you feel like it. But then the night of the party, you're like, I really had a hard day. I was around a lot of people. I need to be alone. And you need to train the people in your life or cultivate people in your life who are understanding about it. So it might be that, like, yeah, I was really tired and I needed to, like, get myself in a mental state that I could go. And I need you to be open and understanding about that.
This year we've seen a lot of, I would say, horrible forces and mindsets empowered to express themselves with the rise of Trump and the Republican takeover and the Russian takeover of our government.
Let's just be honest. Who's taking over?
You know, right now. And it's and as much as we're struggling right now, my heart goes out to Russian people who we're having a discussion. We're fighting. We're resistant. That's the people who are trying to control our government is their government.
Yeah.
Is their leaders. And they're just like, they're, I mean, I just can't imagine what it would be to be a minority, to be an LGBT person in Russia right now. And it's just a really dismal, dark mindset. And part of it is just, it's back to this idea that my success isn't enough. I have to make sure that other people don't have the same success that I've had. Yeah. That's at the core of what it means to be mostly a Republican is to be jealous and to be shady as fuck to keep others
wrong.
From
Shade
getting
wrong.
She already had hers, you know. I think that's RuPaul using that actually is a really good thing, is that it's not feeling comfortable in seeing other people succeed like you have succeeded.
Yeah. And I think that that's why it's so important for people like us who, when we do get ahead, there's this statement that the National Council of Negro Women has, which is lifting as we rise. So that means that once I get to some type of higher point, I go back and reach back and help those people below me. And, you know, I see this with your podcast. I see this with this opportunity I'm trying to create with Shade. June 15th at Steppenwolf, 1700 Theater. Thursday. Is that when I get some type of platform, I'm not looking and saying, okay, well, I want to be the only, you know, black bitch up in there doing comedy. I'm trying to create opportunities for other people like me because it benefits us. It benefits when you get some type of, you know, access to help other people get access, because that's the only way that it's going to change.
I wonder if, like, you know, there's this interesting map about especially Latin America liberation that puts the Southern Hemisphere on top. Imagine if the maps of the world were created by people from the Southern Hemisphere of the world. And they're basically like saying, you know, if history had proceeded the other way around, would it be the white man who is oppressed? Like, is it just the fact that as human beings, we share this like flaw, you know, immaturity of anything, of being, if we don't grow up, if we don't mature as people, we don't feel comfortable in seeing other people share the same success we've had.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of empathy that comes from being marginalized, you know, when I think about things that happened to me, like growing up as a person of color, growing up as a poor person of color, of course, that has put me at a disadvantage. But I love the fact that it's created empathy for me around other people from marginalized communities. And, you know, I think that's why gay communities were so open to accepting me, because they also knew what it was like to be an outsider. A lot of times when I think about what's happening with people who were motivated to vote for Trump, is that they were told that you're a white straight man and you're supposed to have all these things and you're supposed to be above people of color. You're supposed to be above gay people. You're supposed to be above trans people, disabled people. And then they had a president in office for 8 years who was a black man with a Muslim sounding name. And they're looking at him and his beautiful family and getting all these opportunities. And they're like, how come, you know, I'm looking up to that, which I was told was supposed to be below me. And I think that when you don't develop empathy in people, and you're also told them that they're better than people and that they're entitled to things, that that's where these divisions in society come from.
So in order to overcome the Trump-like forces in our own society, because, you know, we're going to get rid of Trump. It seems with Comey that's happening. You know, my mouth to God's ears, but
yes. We'll see what happens. You know, mm-hmm. These Republicans, they'll do anything to keep them in, right?
But, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of those Republicans are also compromised by Russian oligarchs. Mm-hmm. And if we get rid of Trump, even if we get rid of the Republicans, those forces are still there. And ultimately, like you're saying, it's about educating people to have empathy.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the only way we can get rid of this situation.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big undertaking. I feel like creating empathy in people who've been raised to believe that they are supposed to be have access and to have privilege is a bigger job than probably getting rid of Trump.
And when somebody says to you, like, you're a bigot, you're transphobic or homophobic, I just would like to present this idea. Stop for a second. Shut the fuck up. Listen. And then afterwards say thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to grow as a person.
Yeah.
I think too many times, like when somebody says, no, you're racist, you know, or you're mm-hmm. the bigot. And part of it is just like, it's this idea that it's somehow we're terrible people mm-hmm. for being imperfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone's imperfect. There's you know, blocks that I have in myself. One of the things that the best way of phrasing this that I ever got was from a boyfriend of mine who was bi. And he said to me, he's like, when someone says that you're privileged, just replace that word with blessed. So a privilege is a blessing. So you are blessed to be born in America as a white cisgendered male. And because of those blessings, it's hard for you to understand the plight of people who were not as blessed as you. Mm-hmm. So privilege is actually a compliment. It doesn't mean that I'm saying that you're a bad person. It's not saying that you chose to have those privileges. You were blessed enough to be born in a place in society where you're on the top of the ladder. So for those people who are blessed, comes the challenge of helping those other people who were not lucky enough to be born with those blessings. So it's just a language thing, I think.
So when you get that award, cry. Ugly cry.
Yes.
What are you going to serve at Trump's impeachment party?
Yes, hunty. I am planning my impeachment party. I'm all about theme parties. Anybody who knows me knows I throw an epic theme party. You know, I went all out for my Beyonce party. I made two types of jambalayas. You know, there's got to be a theme.
Impeachment pie?
Impeachment pie. Impeachment cobbler mm-hmm. Will definitely be on the menu. Maybe Cheeto crusted mm-hmm. fried chicken.
You know what's really good? It's grilled peaches.
Those are delicious. Little mm-hmm. ice cream and cinnamon on top.
Have you ever had snack chip crusted chicken? Or
I know it will be delicious because it will be fried and it will be chicken. And you can call me out on being a black person and say that everybody loves fried chicken. There's fried chicken in Korean culture. Fried chicken is delicious.
We went mm-hmm. to a Thai restaurant that had a street food mm-hmm. or like authentic Thai style fried chicken mm-hmm. and we're like, I want to see what this tastes like.
Yeah.
And they brought, it was kind of like embarrassing, $9, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think a plate of fried chicken that costs $9 is going to look like?
I should have got a bucket.
right?
Yes.
Or at least like half a chicken,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. A couple pieces.
And I said to them, is this a corn? It was like these miserable little pieces, mm-hmm. lots of bone, very little meat.
It was like they took the center where the back was.
Oh, no.
You know that back part that cuts it off?
Nobody, that's like the piece nobody wants.
And like that was the chicken.
Oh,
and so you're eating like these little nubs of chicken off a bone.
Oh, it's like a bone. That's terrible.
And,
it
was,
yeah.
And I said to them, I was like, is this a Cornish game hen, perhaps? Or... And they're like, no, this is how it is, authentic. Mm. And I'm like, well, you, and I said, look at all the customers here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, they have certain expectations. Because I thought the food was actually really yeah. good. And I want their new business in the neighborhood. Yeah. And I said, you know, I just want you to set proper expectations for your customers.
Yeah.
By warning, and they were kind of warning.
How much this sucks.
How much this sucks. Yeah. It was the most miserable little nuglets.
To you.
It was
nuglets.
It was about the size of a burger.
You they know. Probably used all the meat for like the dishes, and that was like what was left over.
Because
probably no one ever orders that, so it was like fried.
No, it was featured on the menu.
You just make it, you know.
And I've had fried chicken in yeah. Chinese restaurants. Yeah. I've had fried chicken in other Asian restaurants, yeah. and it's kind of like a really treat if you actually get it done yeah. right. Mm-hmm. But this was not it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, y'all are all invited to my impeachment party with my Cheeto crusted fried chicken. You know, if and when he gets impeached, I am going to create that recipe. I'm gonna revolutionize. There'll be hot Cheetos mm-hmm. for my sisters and brethren mm-hmm. as well. Yes, hot
taco
Cheetos.
Trucks.
Yes,
I'll bring some lemonade.
On every corner.
I'll bring some lemonade, and we can pretend it's prostitute pee.
Yes, yes, Russian.
I'm sorry, Russian sex worker.
Sex
pee.
Can we just thank
Juice
Comey basically, you know, informing the public that Trump blurted out, I have not been involved yes. with Russian hookers.
Amen.
Meaning he's been involved with Russian hookers, and probably there is a pee tape
mm-hmm. yes.
with him getting peed on by Russian hookers mm-hmm. in the White House.
It was a hotel in Russia.
And, you know, and I just want to leave this with people. It's like, think about the power one person can do. mm-hmm. Because you go to all these forums, you got all these news sites, and even in social media, it's always like, you're powerless. This is gonna be more of the same. This nothing's gonna happen here. And it's like one person is, you know, of course it's James Comey, the mm-hmm. former head of the FBI. Mm-hmm. But one person can do a lot.
Yeah.
Both parties are not the same. It is mm-hmm. never too late to make change, to pursue your dreams. You can always make a difference. Anyone who tells you otherwise is misinformed, stupid, or trying to get you to give up.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty exciting. I'm so ready for this tape to come out. As we said, we'll be serving sex worker juice.
is that?
It's a Russian lemonade. You know, a la the Russian workers who allegedly urinated on the president.
I think I don't want to say something negative or something, but I think those Russian sex workers are not alive.
You're probably right.
At
this point.
Because they have a lot of people that are just, you know, involved in this whole thing.
Well, everyone's always disappearing and dying under mysterious mm-hmm. circumstances in Russia. It's scary.
I know. Take time off of work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not after Pride, you know.
Yeah,
that's a...
Yeah.
And, you know, refresh, and don't get hung over and show up to Pride.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of other things that we
need. Oh, yeah, we need our list of things to do to get ready for Pride.
And remember, one of the best ways to celebrate Pride is to donate to your favorite LGBT independent podcast like Feast of Fun. Go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a one-time contribution or access 13 years of unique, in-depth, fabulous She-larious podcasts at our website feastoffun.com/plus.
Yes.
Your plus membership gives you access to premium content and to our entire archive of shows that you can download those and put them in your MP3 and or your podcast player, your iPhone, your Android device, and go on those road trips or on those long airplane rides, and you can really get some, you know, fresh perspective. Mm. We are not corporate sponsored. We have very little ties to big money.
No ties to big money.
Actually, none.
No fracking organizations are sponsoring this.
But if they want to,
I'll take the money.
Fracking is amazing.
And you refresh your Pride wardrobe at feastoffun.com/store. Get your unicorn puking up a rainbow t-shirt. Everybody will love it. I guarantee it.
Those are really good for Pride. That's why I'm going to be wearing a Pride this year. And it looks good on me, honey. I get the burgundy one. Or you can just get the Hunty University t-shirt.
Yes.
Where the library is always open.
Yes. The reading room is open, Hunty.
Because reading is...
fundamental.
Yes. That's right.
I want to let people know that I'm heading back to Pennsylvania this next week to take my mom on a little bit of a road trip. Aww. She's in her elderly years, and so she needs some assistance. So I'm going to be the good son, and basically my whole family has cajoled me into doing it. So we'll be taking the next week off of podcasting, but afterwards we'll be coming back, and we've got some fantastic A-list guests set up for you. I'm not going to say who they are, because when you announce them, somehow they always cancel. I don't know what it is. It's like you jinx it.
It's not Kathy Griffin.
No.
It's better.
She said it not me.
But Kathy Griffin is welcome too. I would love to talk to her.
Actually, like, Kathy actually said, I want to come back on your podcast. Aww. And I was like, we ran into her a couple of years ago, and I was like, so I sent a message to her. She's just like, she's busy right now, if you can imagine.
She got some stuff going on.
But I love Kathy Griffin. I photoshopped, I want to confess, I photoshopped Trump's bloodied head into Wonder Woman's hand. And people are like, this is the most amazing image ever. And I'm like, I didn't want to get into controversy over it. And I was like, oh, I found it somewhere in Tumblr.
And now you confessed. Oh, yeah, it was just on the interwebs. Oh, my God.
Colette Gregory, it's a real pleasure to meet you.
It's so much fun.
A strong, hilarious black woman with a very well in shape gay man inside her.
Yes.
Telling her
so good.
Things are going to be all, baby, it's going to be all right.
And I'll see you all on Thursday, June 15th at Shade, an actually diverse comedy show at Steppenwolf 1700 Theater at 1700 North Halsted.
And where can people find you on the internet? Twitter, Facebook?
I am on Twitter at CocoTherapy or at the CocoTherapy. So Coco with an A _ therapy at Twitter. Yes.
All right.
What?
Yes, Hunty.
What kind of therapy are we getting with you?
You getting chocolate therapy. Yes. That strong black woman inside of you is getting your life together. Yes, yes.
Well, thank you for that.
I really, please come back again.
Oh my God,
I really enjoy talking to you.
You guys are the best.
You're my favorite toddler in Tiara.
Thank you for all the go-go juice, modern day go-go juice, red wine, yes.
Gotta finish that bottle off.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye. Bye.